Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Beauty in Darkness by Elizabeth Briggs. Narrated by Stephanie Rose and Chris Chambers. 1. Rose. The wizard arrived at dusk, appearing from the shadows as if conjured by the very darkness settling over the forest. One moment there was nothing before me but ice hanging from the barren branches of a tree. The next, dark tendrils swirled like smoke, slowly forming the body of a man. A very tall man, with hair as black as a raven's wing. A regal face that seemed to be carved from pure stone. And cold eyes that narrowed as soon as they saw me. A strange wizard this near the castle meant trouble. Especially one who could teleport. I shot to my feet, raising my hand to trace a rune in the air. "Who are you? What are you doing here?" He gave my silvery rune a look of pure disdain as it hovered beside me, flickering like fading candlelight.
"Is that supposed to stop me?"
I finished the rune, and it flared brighter before vanishing, conjuring a long spear of ice in its place.
"Get back, or I'll be forced to attack."
"I'd prefer if you didn't."
The wizard swept aside his cloak and took a step forward into the secluded clearing where I stood.
"But do what you must."
His nonchalant tone threw me off, as did his refined voice and fine clothes. He wore all black, with silver thread woven into the edges of the fabric, and his boots were polished to perfection. He towered over me, and a shiver of fear ran down my spine at the power emanating from him. More power than I had ever encountered before. But he had entered my forest without warning, and I wouldn't back down. I kept the spear of ice hovering in the air, pointed at his chest.
"What do you want?"
"I'm here to speak with King Balsam."
His arrogant gaze assessed me and seemed to find me lacking in some way.
"And you are?"
I lifted my chin and held his eye.
"Prepared to stop you?"
An eyebrow lifted.
"I'd like to see you try."
I flicked my wrist and the ice shard shot toward him. He traced a rune of his own, so fast the silvery light flashed through the air for only an instant. My ice spear turned to water and splashed all over my gown, chilling me immediately. My mouth fell open as I glanced down at the cold, wet fabric clinging to my legs. At that moment, I realized who he was, and how foolish I'd been to think I could have used magic to stop him. There were few wizards powerful enough to teleport, fewer still who were bold enough to use magic against a princess of Talador, and only one who matched his description.
"You're King Wraith of Illidan," I said, my voice barely above a whisper.
"Indeed."
He tilted his head as he examined me.
"Am I allowed to know your name now?"
My cheeks burned, but I squared my shoulders and faced him without flinching. "I'm Princess Rose, second daughter of King Balsam."
"Ah."
He took another step closer, his eyes locked with mine.
"Tell me, Princess, what does your father think of you using magic? I thought he had forbidden it in Talador."
My lips pressed into a thin line, and I didn't respond. He already knew the answer. My mother's old spellbook sat on the small stone bench behind me, where I'd been practicing before he'd arrived and disrupted me.
"Oh, but of course he doesn't know,"
Wraith continued.
"That must be why you hide out here, in the shadow of the palace, with none but the forest knowing your secrets."
He leaned forward and lowered his voice.
"Don't worry, I won't tell either."
The man standing far too close to me was a monster, by all accounts. I should have been terrified or angered by his presence here. I should have run to alert the guards or shouted for help.
But I did none of those things, and found I couldn't look away from the darkly captivating man who loomed over me. I'd heard many tales of the dreaded Wizard King, my kingdom's greatest enemy, the man my father feared and hated more than anyone else in the Six Kingdoms. They said he sacrificed animals for his dark magic, that he could wipe out entire battalions of soldiers with deadly spells, and that he'd given his soul to the Shadow Lord in exchange for power. There were rumors he'd taken his throne from his mother by force, and that his wife had killed herself to escape his cruelty. I wasn't sure if any of those stories were true, but they all agreed on one thing. King Wraith was a man to be feared. I should have recognized him immediately, but I'd never thought we would actually meet in person, and certainly not in the middle of the forest. In my defense, he was younger than I'd expected him to be, and far more handsome. Dark and magnetic, his presence commanded attention, and his eyes missed nothing. They were the color of a storm about to turn dangerous, filled with hidden power and ready to strike, much like the rest of him. "Why do you want to speak with my father?" I asked.
"To end this war between our kingdoms. It's gone on far too long."
His voice was colder than the snow under my feet, despite his words of peace. I wondered what he would ask of my father in return for ending hostilities. Talador and Illidan had been at war for decades, since long before I was born, and the cost of the endless standoff was high. When Wraith became king a few years ago, it had only gotten worse. With his magic and formidable army, we were losing ground every day against Illidan, and the war was bankrupting our kingdom and forcing our people to starve. Surely my father would agree to whatever Wraith wanted, knowing we couldn't continue on this path any longer, not without losing far too many lives. Then again, my father cared little for reason or empathy these days, so it was hard to know what he would do. I'd been told he was a good man before my mother passed away, but I'd never seen that side of him. And with each year, he only became colder. Would he do what was best for our kingdom? Or would his pride make him continue this never-ending war? "I'll take you to him." If I brought Wraith to the castle, there might be less of a panic from his sudden, unexpected arrival. Or so I hoped. He idly waved my offer away.
"No need. I'd prefer to make an entrance."
"If that's so, why teleport out here in the middle of nowhere, and not closer to the castle?"
"Despite your father's hatred of magic, the castle's wards still stand, and they prevent me from teleporting anywhere near it. I could break through them, of course, but why spend the energy?"
He gave a casual shrug, dripping with haughty confidence.
"Good evening, Princess Rose."
His gaze dropped to my gown, which had begun to freeze against my legs, and heat spread through me as his eyes lingered there. An instant later, the fabric was dry and warm, as if it had been sitting under the sun for an hour. I was so startled, I could only stare back at him, wondering how he'd done it. I'd heard tales that the best wizards could perform magic without casting runes, that they formed the intricate lines and symbols in their minds, and that was enough. But I'd never encountered such a thing before. Until now. He gave me a quick nod and then set off, his boots crunching through the snow and his black cloak flowing behind him. He brought to mind an image of a raven in flight, and I couldn't help but stare after him as he disappeared from sight between the dense trees. I quickly grabbed my mother's spellbook and wrapped my heavy cloak around me, shivering against the chill. The sun had vanished below the horizon, and with it the last traces of warmth in the air. Even so, it was only autumn. Talador would soon get much colder, and unlike Wraith, I couldn't teleport away. I hurried after the Wizard King in the direction he'd gone, but didn't see any trace of him in the frost-covered, empty forest. Cursing myself for not riding a horse out here, or at least bringing a torch, I trudged through the snow in the increasing darkness, my skirts snagging on branches that seemed intent on slowing me down. Part of the Wizard King's magic, or simply a sign I'd lost track of time and been out here longer than I should. I wasn't sure. As I climbed the hill, the gleaming white castle rose before me between the pine trees, with majestic pointed towers and shining spires that reached high into the sky. Winton Castle appeared as if it had been formed from ice, and it overlooked the snow-covered forest and the capital of Ralston like a sentinel. I quickened my pace and found the castle already in a state of upheaval by the time I entered its large gates. Guards stood on high alert, servants rushed past me in a panic, and every voice seemed to mention the Wizard King's arrival. From snippets of overheard conversation, I learned he'd arrived surrounded by darkness, with lightning crackling in his palms, and had demanded to see my father immediately. He'd been escorted to the throne room by a contingent of wary soldiers, and rumors were flying about what was happening now behind those closed doors. I moved quickly through the castle's pale halls, decorated with thick tapestries and blazing torches to fight back the constant chill. My older sister Lily found me in the corridor leading to our bedrooms, her ever-present guard, Keen, walking stiffly a pace behind her. They made a striking pair, both tall, serious, and attractive, except she had the same long, dark hair as I did, while his was a dark gold that contrasted nicely with his blue and white armor.
"Rose," Lily said as she approached me. "Where have you been? King Wraith of Illidan has arrived with no advance notice whatsoever. Can you believe it?"
"I know," I said as I continued toward my room. "We met."
"You did?"
She glanced at me sharply and missed a step on the lush carpet, nearly stumbling. Somehow I'd managed to surprise my always stoic sister.
"When? How?"
I pushed open my bedroom door and we slipped inside, while Keen crossed his arms and waited in the hall. A fire already burned in the hearth, bringing some warmth to the otherwise cold stone room filled with my bed, wardrobe, dresser, and a small desk. The heavy fabrics were all embroidered with pink and white roses, as befit my name. "In the clearing where I practice," I said, once I was sure we were alone. Lily's blue eyes dipped to where I'd tucked our mother's spellbook inside my cloak, and a frown crossed her lips.
"What happened?"
I set the book on the dresser and removed my cloak, which was coated in a thin sheen of ice.
"He appeared in front of me. We shared a few words, and I foolishly attacked him with magic. He said he wanted to speak with Father, and then he left for the castle. That was all."
Her eyes widened.
"He saw you use magic?"
"Yes, but I doubt he will tell Father. It would be rather hypocritical of him, after all." She sat on the edge of my bed and watched me with a worried gaze.
"Still, I don't like that he knows. And I wish you wouldn't keep this up. If Father finds out..."
"He won't. Even if he did, I won't ever stop. It's my only connection to her." My fingers lightly ran over the embossed cover of the old leather spellbook. The one thing I owned of our mothers. Lily likely had the gift, too, since it ran in families. But she'd never tried to learn magic. Unlike me, Lily always followed the rules. She was the perfect daughter and royal heir in every way, much to our father's delight. And me? I was the daughter he wanted to forget, whose eyes he could never meet, whom he wished had never been born.
"What was King Wraith like?" Lily asked. "Was he as horrible as they say? Were you scared at all?"
"He was rather brooding and intense, and his magic was impressive. But no,
I wasn't scared. Perhaps I should have been, but I'd never felt I was in danger while in his presence. He could have easily killed me with the slightest thought, especially after I'd attacked him. But instead, he'd dried my gown so I wouldn't freeze out there. He was younger than I expected, too. Lily nodded. He took the throne 2 years ago, when he was only 23. Barely older than Lily then, who was 22, and 1 year my elder. I couldn't imagine being crowned so young. No wonder he was so serious. Iris, our youngest sister, burst into the room and asked,
"Is it true? Is the Wizard King here?"
"It's true," Lily said. "He says he's come in peace, though no one believes it. He's speaking with Father now."
"He told me he wants to end the war," I said,
as I moved around the room to light some candles.
"Did he?
Why now, I wonder?"
Lily shook her head. "I'm not sure if Father will welcome him or send him away, but I've ordered a feast tonight in King Wraith's honor anyway, though the staff aren't happy about it. I can't blame them, honestly. Who simply arrives unannounced like that?"
She let out a little shudder. It was just like Lily to be more horrified by King Wraith's lack of social graces than the fact that our kingdom's most dangerous foe had arrived at our front door with deadly magic dripping from his fingertips.
Iris sat on the bed next to Lily, her legs swinging off the ground.
"I heard he cast lightning at the guards and struck them all down. I wonder if he would teach us magic, too."
"Definitely not," Lily said in her firm, oldest sister voice. She leveled a look at me that clearly said, "This is all your doing."
"And he didn't strike anyone down."
"Too bad. I would have liked to see that." Iris hopped off the bed, headed over to my spellbook, and flipped it open. Like me, she had the gift, although it wouldn't be fully available to her until she reached puberty.
"But you'll teach me, won't you, Rose?"
"Maybe when you're older." I ruffled her red hair, and she pulled away with a scowl that only managed to look adorable on her 12-year-old face. Lily sighed and shook her head as she rose to her feet. She wasn't opposed to magic like our father. She simply worried about us crossing him.
"Come, Iris. Let's get ready for the feast. If all goes well, perhaps you can meet the Wizard King yourself."
Iris perked up at that.
"Can I wear your icicle tiara?"
"Yes, but only if you promise to be extra careful with it," Lily said, as the two of them left the room. I closed the door after them and wondered if our other sisters were getting ready as well. There were six of us total from four different mothers, all of us named after flowers, as was the custom for the royal family of Talador. Lily was the eldest and the future queen, while I was the second daughter and reluctant spare. Jasmine loved the outdoors and was a fine archer. Camellia would rather be a guard than a princess. Her twin Violet always had her nose in a book, and Iris was perhaps even more headstrong and rebellious than me. Yes, our father had four marriages, though none of his wives lasted long after becoming queen. Lily and I came from his first marriage, Jasmine from his second, the twins from his third, and Iris from the last. We'd long wondered if our father would take another bride, but so far he hadn't. A good thing, too, because she likely would have been about my age, and that would have been far too awkward. I turned to my wardrobe and studied my gowns, debating which to wear this evening for the feast. I wanted to look bold and fearless when facing King Wraith again, to show him I wasn't afraid of him revealing my secret. My blood-red gown, perhaps. The one with the low neckline, flared skirt, and black trim. I held it up to me in the mirror, my hands running along the smooth crimson velvet. Yes. Perfect. He wouldn't be able to keep his eyes off me all night. I wasn't sure why that mattered, but it did.
2. Wraith. Large, ornate double doors opened wide to reveal Talador's throne room, a long stretch of stark white stone with high ceilings and thick, embellished columns. At the far end, King Balsam sat on the frozen throne with a view of the frost-covered forest behind him. The throne was made of crystal, despite its name, and was styled to look like shards of ice were splintering off from the chair. King Balsam was draped in heavy furs and wore a large silver and sapphire crown atop his head. Despite only being in his mid-40s, younger than my parents, had they still been alive, his hair was stark white and his face was heavily lined. He sat up at the sight of me, and his icy voice boomed out from his throne.
King Wraith of Illidan, you have some nerve showing up here without invitation. I should have you struck down for even daring to enter my lands. Why are you here?
I strode down the long, thick carpet without hesitation, while the guards stared at me with open hostility. I've come to demand that you end the war against my kingdom, and remove your soldiers from our borders immediately. He snorted.
I don't think you're in a position to demand anything.
Is that so? I raised my hand as if to draw a rune. If I were to attack you now, you could stop me.
Your sorcery doesn't scare me, Wraith.
My eyes narrowed, hatred burning through my veins like poison. Then perhaps I'll simply end this war by claiming your life.
Guards!
He shouted, rising to his feet. A dozen soldiers moved toward me and drew their swords, but I formed a rune in my mind, and they all flew back against the wall as if thrown by an invisible catapult. Each one hit the stone hard and crumpled to the floor, where they found themselves unable to move further. Then I leveled my gaze at the king and lifted him 5 feet into the air, dangling him like a puppet. He let out a choked cry, his eyes bulging. You were saying? I asked.
Perhaps we can come to some kind of agreement.
Balsam gasped. Indeed. I released him, and he fell to the marbled floor in a heap of furs. Our kingdoms have been at this tired war for generations, but it's time to end it now. He slowly sat himself on the throne again, as if moving was difficult for him now, and the look he gave me was pure malice.
Are you surrendering?
No, you are. A bitter laugh escaped him.
And why would I do that?
Because your people are starving, and you have neither the gold nor the stamina to continue this war any longer. He leaned forward on his throne, gripping the arms tightly.
I've been fighting this war longer than you've been alive, boy. Don't question my stamina.
It took all my effort not to roll my eyes. This war is pointless. We fight because we have always fought, but that needs to end now, especially when the threat from Mesner grows every day. We can't afford to fight each other and defend against their army, too. Balsam leaned back and drummed his fingers on the throne's armrest as he considered my words. It was a long time before he spoke, but when he did, his voice held less anger.
I've heard their young queen is ambitious. She wishes to rule every one of the 6 kingdoms.
I've heard the same. Mesner's army has always been the strongest. If they move on us, our kingdoms would be first to fall, weakened as they are already. I had another reason for wanting to end this war as quickly as possible, a threat within my own borders that I needed to address before it destroyed my kingdom from the inside out. But I wasn't about to let Balsam know of such weakness. If he did, he would march on my lands and end this war once and for all, with my people under his oppressive boot. But if we end the war and stand together as allies, Our show of strength might make her hesitate before attacking either of us. A cold, calculating smile spread across his face.
How desperate you must be if you've come to me, your greatest enemy, for an alliance against Mesner. Would Coralon not help you?
They'll stand with me as well, but I would prefer two allies at my back, or, if nothing else, one less enemy to fight. I took a step forward. I propose we both remove our soldiers and begin negotiations on the borderlands. I'm willing to concede the area of Worth in exchange for the western part of Hamfit. I'd also like to work out a trade agreement that could benefit us both. Balson steepled his fingers and gazed at me with cunning eyes.
What guarantee do I have that you'll remove your soldiers after I remove mine?
None but my word.
Not good enough. I want some kind of reassurance. Something to solidify our new relationship and this potential alliance.
I clenched my fists at the thought of working with this wretched man, but I reminded myself I had to do this to protect my people.
What do you propose?
He leaned forward on his throne.
An immediate end to the war between our kingdoms, sealed with an alliance through marriage.
Marriage, I said, my voice flat. I'd known it might come to this, though I'd hoped he would simply see reason and concede defeat. I had no interest in marrying again, especially not to this man's spawn. But a political marriage with one of his daughters would ensure his cooperation, and quickly put an end to this needless war. More than that, it would allow me to take something precious from him, as he'd once taken from me.
I have 6 beautiful daughters, Balsam said. If I give you one of them, would you remove your troops and stand with me against Mesner, should the time come?
I bowed my head and prayed Selina would forgive me. I would.
Then I agree to your terms, King Wraith. I too tire of our old war, and we must prepare to face new threats that are now rising. You may take one of my daughters as your bride. You'll meet them all at the feast tonight, and see which one is to your liking then.
I don't need a feast. Call them forth now so we can get this over with.
At least let them prepare first, he said, waving a dismissive hand. Give them some time to make themselves pretty for you.
An image of Princess Rose came forth from when I'd happened upon her in the forest. Her beauty had been striking, with her long dark hair, smooth skin, and red lips. She had no need to make herself pretty, as he'd said. She was lovely already. Even when fumbling with runes, she had no business conjuring. Something about her fierce determination had drawn me to her, so much so that I'd been hesitant to leave the clearing. A longing had stirred in me that I hadn't felt in years, and never wanted to feel again. Naturally, that was why I could never choose her for my bride. I wasn't sure how I could choose at all, to be honest. None of them would ever compare to what I'd once had and then lost. I care not what they look like, I said. This isn't a love match. Bring them forward and let's be done with it.
Very well. The king waved a flippant hand and called out, Summon the princesses.
3. Rose. A sharp knock sounded on my door while my lady's maid finished doing my hair up in an intricate style. Princess Dahlia, my aunt, and the king's younger sister stepped inside a moment later, apprehension written all over her face. We had the same dark, wavy hair, but she had my father and Lily's ice-blue eyes. I'd inherited my mother's eyes, a strange amber color that was common among the wizards of Coralon, but rarely seen elsewhere. Iris had inherited similar eyes from her own mother as well.
Dahlia moved to stand behind me, meeting my gaze in the mirror.
Our king has summoned you.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?